Hello and welcome to this, the latest podcast about the ISB's board meetings. My name is Robert Bruce and I'm a financial journalist. With me to discuss the November meeting of the board of the ISB is Wei Kui-jen, board member, and Alan Teixeira, director of technical activities at the ISB. If we can start with you, Alan, you've made some changes to the technical plan, which you'll be announcing shortly, which give a bit more focus to the more urgent projects. Can you just talk us through some of that?
Sure, thanks, Robert. We met last week in Norwalk, actually. The whole board travelled across to Norwalk with some senior staff, and we discussed with the FASB the main projects, and we tried to give more focus and basically clear the decks so that the board's got more time to focus and think about the major or more urgent projects that we're aiming for completion by 30 June next year. Now, the four projects affected are leases, which we're conducting jointly with the FASB, revenue recognition, financial instruments, and insurance. And all of those we're trying to get completed, as I said, by 30 June. Now, it doesn't mean that they're the only ones we focus on, because we are actually finalising several projects as well. We've already completed our derecognition requirements in that we produced some improved disclosures a month or so ago. This week we participated in a roundtable in the US on consolidations and a staff draft that we've had on our website for a couple of months. And based on some feedback with that, we're still on track to finalise consolidations towards the end of this year, perhaps January, before we get that published out the door. We're also, there's some a related disclosure package in relation to special purpose vehicles and things like that. Joint ventures or joint arrangements, as we're now referring to them, is also going to be completed at the same time as consolidations. So we're still on track to finalise those. And those are all projects that are part of the G20 and the Financial Stability Board have asked us to make those improvements in response to the financial crisis. The other two that we're looking to finish early next year, in the first quarter, are fair value measurement. We had good discussions with the board last week. We'll mention that a little bit later in this podcast. And pensions, which we're aiming to get out by March. Now, the projects that I haven't mentioned are the ones that really are affected by the timetable. And it's not that they're not important. It's just that they're less urgent, we think, or we think they deserve much more time than we're able to give them as a board. Probably the biggest two on that list are financial statement presentation. Now, we put a staff draft up on our website in the first week of July this year. We've been using that as the basis for discussion. We've been doing a lot of outreach with that. We've had tremendous support and some excellent feedback from people, which we found very valuable. Now, people are telling us a lot. There's some good aspects of the project, but they're also telling us some things that they're very concerned about as well. What we've asked the staff to do is in February we'll bring back a full summary of all of that, and the outreach is still going on. There's a meeting in Warsaw on Friday, for example, another one in Madrid today, for example, and so they're involving EFRAG, the European advisor. So once we come to February, we'll get all that feedback in and then put in place a plan, but we're not going to come back to the project until after June next year. Similarly, liabilities equity. The staff have been working on the project. We know there's a lot more to do on that, and again, the board needs more time to consider this and give it the time it actually deserves, so we're going to put that on hold until after June as well. Those two are joint projects that both boards are putting back. Now, additionally, we've got two projects that are ISB only that we're putting back a little bit as well. IAS 37, it's been fairly controversial to do with contingencies and contingent liabilities. We had a good session on that this week, but essentially we won't be bringing that back to the board until the second half of 2011. And annual improvements is the other ISB only project. We were going to be putting an exposure draft out this month. We've decided to put that back till April, and by putting back till April it means that we're basically going to be clearing the decks so that people who want to comment on it have got a much quieter time to do that, and then the board consider the feedback on that in the second half of next year. there are three other projects, I think, that we've delayed a bit as well. Emission trading schemes is a joint project with the FASB. We discussed that last week in Norwalk, and again, we're going to be putting that, we won't be revisiting that till the second half of next year. And the last two are investment entities. Both boards are putting out a joint exposure draft, looking at a potential exception to consolidation for investment entities. But rather than putting that out at the end of this year, we've decided to delay that until April next year. And when we put that out again, it'll be a quieter period, and then the board will come back to that in the second half of next year. And the last one, which is also, again, it's not putting it back because of we don't think it's important, but concepts really needs more time. And the reporting entity chapters, we got some very valuable feedback in the comment letter process, and more than really the board is able to cope with in a very short time. So we decided to wait till the second half of next year before the board focuses on that. So essentially you can see from what I just told you, it's a lot of basically clearing the decks so that we can focus on the main projects.
Yeah. Good. Can we talk through what the board discussed on post-employment benefits?
You know, the board continued its deliberation on this project.
Yes.
The main topic is on the presentation of the related expenses or costs. And the board tentatively decided to confirm the proposal in the ED to require company to present service costs and the financial costs in P&L. Secondly, board will not specify where service costs and financial costs should be presented in profit loss. Thirdly, different from the original proposal in ED, that is to require company to present a remeasurement in OCI, the board changed its mind to allow company either present remeasurement in profit loss or in OCI. And the board confirmed its original proposal in ED, not allow to reclassify the remeasurement in OCI back to profit loss. And next, board will permit company to transfer the accumulated OCI within equity, not required. And finally, board decide to require company to present all the costs that are service costs, financial costs, and remeasurement in statement comprehensive income, unless other standards like standards on inventory, PPE, will require some of the costs to be included in the cost of assets. These are the major decision board made last week, and board will continue its further deliberation in the coming months.
Excellent. Can we turn to the topic of impairment?
Sure. Impairments, just give it a recap on this.
Yeah.
We've been putting out our financial instruments, replacement of IAS 39 in three phases. The first was classification and measurement, and the other two phases are impairment and hedging. And with the impairment side, we've been discussing that with the FASB to see if we can actually get a common solution to this. Last week we discussed seven models. It might sound like the seven's a lot, but essentially they're variations on a theme, because essentially the core issue here is when you develop an impairment model, and the idea is to move from an incurred loss model where you actually have to wait for something to happen in terms of an expected loss model, because usually when you lend money, there's an expectation that out of your portfolio some of those loans won't be paid. So you know that when you start off. So It's trying to anticipate the right amount. Last week, we had representatives from the US Office of the Control of the Currency, and they presented us with a lot of data about the way losses manifest themselves. And there's some evidence that in some cases, like motor vehicles, for example, that losses tend to occur earlier in the loan than later. You know, if you imagine that people overcommit themselves with a motor vehicle, and that's when they fail. And logically, of course, if you've got a 3-year loan, and you're 2.5 years into it, you are going to pay the last bits off because it's silly otherwise. So there's some evidence that some of the losses are up front. Now, it's not consistent because in other types of loans like property, for example, it's not as clear, for example. So I think the FASB in its exposure draft, they still prefer an immediate recognition right up front of expected losses. Now, the issue is how far you go out, because the FASB doesn't want to look at the losses over the whole life of the loan. What they tend to do is to look at some sort of foreseeable future. And at the moment, they're talking 2 to 3 years. And the idea would be to look out 2 to 3 years and what they expect to lose and then book all of those losses up front. Whereas our preferred model is to look over the life of the loan, the total expected losses over the portfolio, and to do some sort of time proportionate approach where you allocate that over the life. And at the moment, the board's still reaching different conclusions on that, but we've still got a lot more talking to do, and we have to look at the way that actually works, particularly when these models were developed, we assumed a closed portfolio, and what that means is that you just have a bunch of loans and don't have any new ones. But when you have an open portfolio and you've got more and more loans coming in, we just want to compare the financial reporting, because it may be that we get very similar results no matter which model we actually pick. So we're doing that at the moment, and we expect to discuss it again in December.
Good. Another area was discussed in the board was emissions trading. Do you want to talk us through that, Wayne?
Yeah. As you know, the board tentative decided last month to recognize the allocated allowance of liabilities related to allocated allowance initially and subsequently at the fair value. And last week, the board continued its discussions on the measurement side of the liability and also touched the recognition of liability over purchased allowance and presentation of allowance and liabilities. As to the measurement of the liabilities for the emission in excess over the allocated allowance, and board discussed three alternatives proposed by the staff and supported two of them. And actually, the major difference between the two are on the timing of the recognition of the liability. And board spirit on this issue. And some board members support the views to recognize the liability throughout the compliance period as an entity emits. Others support the idea to recognize those liabilities when the entity's emission exceed the liability for the allocation. So the board not reached consensus yet. As to the measurement of the purchased liabilities, and the two boards reach same conclusion. That is to recognize those liabilities initially and subsequently at fair value. This is consistent with the decisions on the recognition of the allocated liability. On the presentation of liability and allowance, and two boards, again, cannot reach consensus. The ISB board members generally support so-called gross presentation models. But on the other hand, the ISB board members express their ideas not fully against the lean presentation idea. By contrast, the FSB board members still like the lean presentation format. Yep. And which is different from the ISB's board members' position. And FSC board members also specify a company may not necessarily to express their intention to offset those assets and liabilities as a condition. Mm-hmm. And as Alan said, board will come back after June next year to discuss the related issue. Okay.
So that's another issue which is going into the second half of next year.
Yes. Yep. The two board asked the staff to go out to consult our constituencies based on the up-to-date decision.
Yeah. We haven't completely stopped the projects. Yeah. We've basically we've tried to get them into good shape so that the staff can go out and do more outreach.
Yeah. Right. Well, that leaves the what else is upcoming, Alan?
Well, we the other subjects we had a quick look at last week or spent some time on were fair value measurement, as I said in the technical update. We're still on track to get that out in the next year, early next year. We had a good meeting again. We discussed essentially the only issue that we've got relates to a disclosure requirement around sensitivity analysis and about the relationships between variables. And there's still a bit of uncertainty about how that ought to manifest itself. And the board basically decided that if necessary, we're going to pull that out of the project and do that as a separate issue, because it's so important that we actually get the fair value measurement project completed so we have the same requirements and internationally, that we didn't want that delayed by one disclosure requirement. So we're on track to do that. We also discussed other comprehensive income, and this is the issue. Again, it's been relatively controversial about a single statement. And the board's decided to go ahead and allow people to present either one statement or in separate statements of net income and other comprehensive income. There are going to be some changes to the way we've got the wording in IS1, so we are going to go ahead with some amendments. We're going to tidy up the way people do present those items that are reclassified or recycled, as people talk about it, versus those that are not, so that it's much clearer. And it shouldn't involve much easier to compare US GAAP financial statements with IFRS financial statements, and that's an important motivation for completing the project. It's more important for the US than it is for us, because at the moment they can put some components directly to equity, and it's analysts find it very difficult to find these numbers. It's sort of very noisy. They see value changes hidden away in equity, and we don't have that, so it's really a bit of a catch-up for the US. Asset and liability offsetting, we discussed that as well. The boards, I think, have got to the point where they've at least they seem to agree that on a model that's going to end up potentially with, I think, more netting for ISB users and less netting for US GAAP users. So that is bound to be a controversial one. But at the moment, I've seen the project plan for the team, and we're looking at the first quarter of next year to get an exposure draft out on asset offsetting. And that's where you take one, you've got an asset and a liability perhaps with the same party, and whether you can actually net them together on the balance sheet or whether you should put them in gross numbers on the balance sheet and net them in the notes. And I think we've mentioned before, a US balance sheet for a bank can be about a third of the size of the bank reporting under IFRS. And so it's a very big difference between us and US GAAP. Two others we had a look at, IAS 37, we continued discussions on that. As you know, Wagwan mentioned, it's a bit like emission trading schemes, and this is one where we've tried to get into good shape. The main focus was on the existence of a liability, and the board's decided that we need to specify in situations of uncertainty, and you know, things like a lawsuit, you have to meet the criterion. In other words, if there is a liability, it's a more likely than not criteria that sits there. So, you know, and if you have a look, for example, at the type of evidence you have, you know, if a case is progressing through the courts, then it's more likely than not that the courts are all against the entity, then that means you've got a liability. Basically, the staff have put together some application guidance for entities defending legal proceedings, and we're going to put that onto our website as a staff draft and start to informally get to try seek some feedback on that as well. We've still got to discuss some issues about measurement and about probable outflows, but again, we're going to put that on hold until the second half of next year. And assuming the board can reach decisions on all these things, that will go out as a full exposure. Again, it'll be completely re-exposed. So that's not one that we're sort of working towards completion of at the moment. And the last item, I guess, is hedge accounting. We did have a reason I want to mention that is we didn't make any decisions, but the board had a look at portfolio hedging, which is very important, and there's been good progress on that. But I think what you need to expect is that there's a general hedging model exposure draft is going to be published in the next couple of weeks, so that's not too far away for us.
Yeah. And the next meeting?
1st of December is the next meeting. That's Friday of next week. And the other thing coming up is we do have a tech plan update. We periodically update jointly with the FFASB. We did, the last one was in June, and the next one is due out on the 29th, I think it is, of November. So it's Monday of next week.
Good. And with more board meetings more frequently, listeners can expect many more podcasts.
Yeah, we've essentially, you know, as Robert introduced this as the November meeting, but I think that's almost misleading in a sense, we've been meeting so frequently. So, and we've got two sessions at the beginning of December, plus the December board week as well.
Yeah.
March next year, for example, I think we meet 3 weeks in a row. We've got 3 days 1 week, 5 days the next, three the following week. So we're going to have more regular podcasts to update us after each of these meetings.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you very much, Alan. Thank you very much, Wei Kuo. And finally, the traditional disclaimer: the views expressed in this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the official policy of the IASB. For the official account of the IASB meeting, please go to IASB Update on the IASB's website. As I said, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Wei Kuo, and goodbye.